So guess what we're gonna do today?
I don't know, tell me.
It's going to be a little different. We are going to fix The Last Jedi. Not because it was bad. It was not bad. It was just inherently broken.
Okay.
Objectively.
All right.
It was wrong.
Okay.
So we're going to fix it.
It has some problems.
Definitely. If you don't know, I got beef with Rian Johnson. Because...
Call out posts.
I say it all the time. It's not bad. It was just wrong. As a storyteller, a filmmaker, as I like to call myself, even though I have made one film. But hey, David Lynch says, if you've made a film, you're a filmmaker.
Woo!
Anyway.
Davey!
As a filmmaker, I believe there are certain priorities you should, not just should, you must place on your stories. And one of those is matching your genre to fit with certain philosophical understandings.
Okay.
The number one thing being your main character is special. And the whole point of The Last Jedi was, oh, our hero is not special. She is, in fact, the opposite. Doesn't matter who her parents are. You hearing that, kids? Doesn't matter who your parents are. But the thing is, kids are like, I know who the fuck my parents are. I don't give a shit about that. I want to be special. I want to feel special. I, as a viewer of a fantasy sci-fi story, I'm already projecting myself onto this character. You have not made her more relatable to me, the viewer. You have undercut my feeling of specialness. And there is some debate to be had there, but I'm right.
All right.
Do you agree? Do you have a retort? Because like I said, the format of this episode is a little different, so we do have more time for back
I'm
and
totally
forth.
Agnostic on this. Let's just go. I'm along for this ride.
Cool. So what we're doing today is we're going to just sort of switch around the plot points of The Last Jedi.
Lippity-bippity.
The only sort of restrictions we've placed on ourselves are everything has to start the same way as the movie started.
Uh-huh.
And everything has to end the same way. So the Rise of Skywalker has to feasibly take place after our story.
Okay, and then we'll do that some other time, I guess.
Or not. We are trying to change it pretty fundamentally, so maybe we can change it drastically.
Fair enough. We'll see. I was pretty happy with Force Awakens.
Yeah, me too. The complaints I have with it, I realized, is me just nitpicking and splitting hairs. Overall, thumbs up.
It was a fun movie. Yeah. All right, so if we have to start where the movie started, where does the movie start? We've got Rey flying off to whatever planet, I forget, like that little dinky planet to find Luke. We've got Finn and Poe on the spaceship fleeing from the First Order gang. Kylo Ren has killed Han Solo. I don't know. Do we have anything else?
That's pretty much it. We don't have to have that spaceship, that ship fleeing the baddies, though. That's the First Order. I almost said the Sith.
Yeah. That's all the same.
Yeah. The good guys. They don't have to be fleeing. How does Force Awakens end, remind me? That is Rey going off. She finds Luke at the end.
She goes off.
Yeah.
And they are kind of like, I'm not actually sure. Poe is hurt and in a coma.
Yeah, that's right. And he wakes up at the beginning of...
No, not Poe, Finn.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Wait, yeah.
Yeah, Finn is the one in the coma.
Okay. Cooking it up.
Finn
in a coma, Poe chilling...
On the ship.
Both of them
with the Resistance. Like he's doing rebellion stuff, or Resistance stuff.
Both of them with the Resistance with Leia. And I think Leia dying... Wait, she died in that one?
No, Carrie Fisher died after that movie got made.
Yeah, okay, after the movie got made. That was right. We realized that they were killing them off one at a time with each movie. Because, Leia... That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Leia almost dies in the current version. By the way, I feel like it should be obvious by now. This is going to be very spoiler heavy that movie as we tell you what we're replacing.
Indeed. So, I've already outlined my beef with it. So, before we even start, I think we should make sure there is a priority on unobtrusive space adventure blockbuster. That's one, like, it. No one cares that Rise of Skywalker wasn't, like, cerebral like The Last Jedi. Oh, wait, you didn't think The Last Jedi was cerebral either? Well, you must have... Rian Johnson must not have even gotten that right. Damn, I am just flaming him. He's so much better at everything than me, but yet I am still going to just shoot. It's on sight. So, it's not... He was going for, like, a cerebral thriller, like, mind-bendy David Lynch almost kind of thing, where Rey goes down into the underground of that planet. You remember?
Yeah, it's like that tree.
Yeah.
Oh, does Luke say only what you take with you? Does he say that?
I don't know.
If he didn't, we should call the police.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so there. We've already got that plot point.
Yeah.
Okay. The bit where Luke sort of had, I don't want to say loss of innocence, but a loss of hope, you know, in that movie.
Uh-huh.
How he had a single vision where Kylo Ren was a bad guy and he almost killed him.
Yeah.
I take beef with that as well.
I can't blame you on that. I think we've got... I like this idea that there's this explanation of why Kylo Ren... how this happens, and it's directly tied to Luke and Luke's vision of the future. But I think that can be explained a lot more gracefully.
Yeah. Because the way other people... put it, and I don't want to call anybody out just in case I misquote them. The way some of my friends have put it is, I say, isn't that sort of unreasonable? And they're like, it's totally unbelievable that Luke would have that character arc. And I'm like, well, no, that was understandable that to make a sequel trilogy after so long, you would have the main characters of the last trilogy, you would have them go undergo some sort of character transformation that even, like, betrays their old characters. The thing is, it was done way too quickly. And they say, oh, yeah, it should have been done over the course of, like, multiple movies. And I'm like, no, I think one movie was enough. Just one quarter of a scene wasn't enough.
All right. I think that's fair.
And I think it's a bit too harsh for it to be Luke tries to kill Kylo Ren. I think maybe what we could do instead is Luke just, Han and Leia are like, here, train our son in the ways of the Force. And then he has something, maybe the same vision, maybe a similar vision. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But he just says, nah. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I feel like there's this opportunity for a parallel for like, what distinguishes Kylo from Ren from Luke in this shared experience of, you know, it's like go into the tree or the hole or whatever, what's in there, only what you take with you. And I think that this idea that Ren goes through the trial and kind of succumbs to the darkness within himself.
Okay.
That it's not like that. Luke looking out and like seeing that Ren is destined for evil, but Ren falling to his worst impulses.
Okay.
And seeing himself as like desiring to take back up a legacy of power from Darth Vader.
Okay. And do you want Luke to have played any kind of role in that? Or do you want the blame... Blah. Do you want to shift the blame entirely to Kylo?
I think that Luke... I mean, Luke blames himself. That's why he's in this self-appointed exile. I think that the explanation for that is that after Ren has failed this trial, Luke casts him out.
Okay.
He's like, okay,
yeah.
Get out of here. And then he's like, all right, cool. I'm going to go commune with some dark forces.
Yes. Very good. I like that. Yeah. Because
it's like, you can't be a Jedi because of this. And he's like, okay, then screw you. I'm joining the competition.
Yeah. And this plays perfectly. Shout out Overly Sarcastic Productions. They just did a trope talk on Pure of Heart, which they bring up that this is a trope that's pretty wacky, because there is a difference between someone not having any bad impulses whatsoever versus someone who has, you know, temptation brought onto them, but works through it and goes past it, and like, which is better? And that way you get the flaw in the air quotes pure of heart trope, where you have a character like Luke, like Goku, like whoever. And, well, Luke might not fall into this.
But Luke's challenges with, like, you know, the darkness within myself and whatever, they were all very superficial.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Okay, either way. Uh-huh. It'll work either way. Because you can go back and watch those movies and say it wasn't delivered well enough. Or, you know, since they broached it at all, it was delivered well enough. But the point is, Luke has a hard time in the sequel trilogy, in our movie, The Very Last Jedi. He has a hard time seeing other people as having as much potential to do good as him.
Uh-huh.
While still having, like, more darkness or a harder time.
Right. And I think it's better at characterizing, at, like, giving him this reluctance to train Ren. Because in this way, it's, I failed Kylo, and he became this. As opposed to, I tried to kill Kylo, and he took a logical course of action.
Yeah, exactly.
Of joining the opposition and then coming back to fuck me up.
So we've got one of the major, I'm just going to say it, flaws. One of the major flaws fixed out of there. We're in the same spot. You see?
Yeah.
Just one or two scenes, not even entirely changed, just done a little differently. We could have fixed this movie in post, dude. Sorry.
No, you do that now. No, we do that now.
I'm throwing Molotovs at Rian Johnson right now.
Okay, so I remembered the thing that everyone, that pretty much nobody liked about this movie, was the casino planet.
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, the casino planet happened.
If only you could hear shaking my head on audio.
You know what, honestly, I think would have been way better is just, like, having a throwback. Going to another planet that we've seen before.
Yeah.
So, like, what are the options?
Well, we should not commit to any one planet first, because there are a lot to choose from.
I know, yeah. I mean,
and we should decide the plot reason for going there first.
Okay.
Because the freaking go find 007 on the casino planet was totally improvised, and it had no consequences on anything.
Fair enough. So now we're specifically... Does Benicio del Toro's character, who we just sort of meet and happens to know what, yeah. happens to know how to do.
He's not who we were looking for, but he just happens to know what to do.
That's really bad writing.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't say all the problems I had with this movie while it was out, because it was like the really heavy criticism was tied to some unpleasant people. Like, oof. Really unpleasant people, but... this movie did have a lot of problems.
For sure. And Rose, oh my gosh, done so dirty. Could have been, like, here, congratulations, very first Eastern Asian main character in Star Wars. Oh, by the way, your part is ass. Sorry, but, dude, let's decide just the first act. And we'll start in pretty much the same spot. The thing is, I kind of want to get rid of the B plot, I guess you'd call it, of Finn and Poe and Rose. Did Poe go with Finn?
No, Poe stayed on the ship, and he was like, I don't know, he was trying to convince him to do something.
Yeah, this was really dumb.
Yeah, Poe was still on the ship, And he was like, hey, if we do this, we can... It's either, hey, if we do this, we can get away. Or, hey, if we do this, we can stop the Empire guys.
Yeah. I think we should change running away and being just out of reach. Because that is a lot of explaining. Like, retroactive explaining. Like, oh, they're right there. Why aren't we killing them now, you ask? Because they're just out of range. And they're going to be for the next 45 minutes. Like, what the hell? No, that's not a story. That's a fucking lore dump. Sorry, I just cursed again.
Yeah.
And
I recall, like, the most particular thing was, they tracked us through light space, but that's impossible. But what if it wasn't?
Oh my gosh. I haven't even said my... Okay. All right. Get out the soapbox. Here we go. Okay.
Sorry. This is still a bit of a sore spot, isn't it?
I got to do a little breathing exercise. Okay. All right, listener. Listen to me. There is a thing called Chekhov's gun. There is a thing called setup and payoff. Ryan, if you're listening, come to my apartment. And I'll teach you, without judging you, once. Okay, I'm not going to do that for the whole time. There's a thing called setup and payoff. There's a thing called Chekhov's gun. You have the plot predicament. Oh, where's Rey? Oh, she's off somewhere, wherever. Oh, but wait, the story dictates that we are tracked through light speed later. Oh, well, okay, then. I'm going to have... Okay, Finn is going to ask, how can Rey find us if we're traveling through light speed? And then... Leia whips out the blue bleepy thing, and she's like, don't worry, she can find us by tracking us with this. Puts it in her pocket. I don't know, 5, 10, 15 minutes goes by. Oh my gosh, the First Order tracked us through light speed! And me, sitting in the theater, I pressed pause and I let everybody know. I said, hey everybody, Rose is going to tell us, yeah, the only way to track us through light speed is if we had a blue bleepy thing on board. And then I pressed play. And then Finn goes, they tracked us through light speed. Rose says, but that's impossible. And I look at them and I'm like, eh? And Finn goes, but they did it. And she's like, oh my gosh. I lost my mind just sitting there waiting for them to bring up the blue bleepy thing again.
Yeah.
Because it was so clear. Here we go. Okay, we found the next core problem. It's so obvious that the person who wrote the initial script before Ryan got his hands on it, they had a plan for Finn, the decision to be in Finn's hands. I have to choose the greater good of saving the Resistance or saving my cute Jedi girlfriend, my cute space samurai girlfriend. And instead, they were like, I don't like that. I'm going to take that out, but I'm going to leave in all the, like, external plot without any of the internal. Gosh, that's so dumb.
Okay.
Okay, now that we've just... Now that I'm out of the echo chamber.
Okay.
Let's revisit the first sort of act. We've got Rey finding Luke. He doesn't do that oh-so-sassy bit where he throws the lightsaber away and he's like, psh, whatever, and walks off. Don't know what that's about.
That was my dad's. I don't even care about it.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Instead, it's going to be, I think that should be left to, like, imagination, where the movie starts with Poe, with Finn, with Leia, and Rose. And we gotta do Rose better. That's the one thing I do want to focus a lot on,
okay.
Is, like, making Rose an established, cool character. I think we should start the
story.
Somebody
who just kind of shows up and then is also there.
Yeah.
For the rest of the movie. Yeah, like, give her stuff to do.
Yeah, I mean...
All right.
Punching the air right now. So, we start the movie with the B and kind of C plot characters. And then at some point, someone brings up Rey. And then you, as a viewer, are like, oh yeah, I totally forgot. Rey and Luke, I'm really curious as to what's going on over there. And then someone says something like, Rey must be, you know, halfway to Jedi Master by now, am I right? Am I right? Up top. Cut to Rey just sort of chilling with Luke. And maybe... The point is, he is, like, refusing to not refuse. Maybe he's not refusing to train her. I was too quick to keep it the same as the original Last Jedi plot point. What it could be. Is that he's, like, teaching her the basics and everything of, like, self-defense.
Right. Yeah, you do this. This is how you move a rock.
No. Not even.
Not even rocks?
He is, like, very... Well, maybe you might be right. Maybe moving rocks. But the point is, she can tell that he is holding out and he is not teaching her something very important because of the Force. She can tell because of the Force. And what he is avoiding is the Force. He's like, I don't want you to tap into your inner power because I see now that by developing people who are Force sensitive into, you know, powerful beings, I'm not making people good. I'm just making them more themselves. And I am done taking that risk. Of, like, I might be risking teaching someone who is just bad, you know?
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. Who said that? Was that, like, Abraham Lincoln?
Anyone can deal with adversity if you truly wish to test their character. Give them power.
Exactly. Power doesn't make you better or worse. It makes you more yourself. So I think that is what he should be going for. And then his sort of character arc is, it's not just a risk giving someone power and then waiting and seeing what happens. Like, I have to play more of an active role as, like, a mentor, as, like, a father figure for people. For me, as the hero of a story, my own story back in the 70s. It was much more dramatic for Ben to have died back then. But if Ben had stuck around, and maybe Ben Kenobi makes like a bit of a comeback as like a Force ghost. That would be nuts. Okay. So Luke's arc.
We're going to bring Sir Alec Guinness back, Tupac style.
Oh, that makes me. What's sadder than sad? Broken.
It causes you to despair.
Yes, that despairs me.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody makes me into a hologram, I'm haunting their ass. I am coming back. I'm telling God, like, hang on, rain check.
Will you be a hologram when you come back, though? It's like a people hologram. That's what a ghost is.
We've kind of fixed Luke's character arc.
Yeah, we've...
It goes from...
And...
I'm sad to, you can play more of a role in someone else's development. Because I think he's in a good spot.
Yeah.
Overall.
I think that kind of raises a question. Because Rey spends almost the whole movie with Luke. Or she spends like more time with Luke in this movie than she does with anybody else. So what does that mean? Like, what does that mean for her character?
You know what I think is... What? First pinch point, the first sort of main plot point between the inciting incident and the midpoint, for those who don't know. She says, I'm sick of it. No, I'm... those books, those tomes, or those Force whatever, maybe it's the hole in the tree. The point is, she's like, I'm going into that inner power. And then she finds, like, a darkness in herself. You see what I mean?
I do.
And then Luke is all, I told you so. Like, you are, I am banishing you from this planet, because if you tap into the, attuned to the Force like Kylo did, you're the next Kylo. I hate you. And she's, like, so torn up, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go back to my friends. Midpoint, something has developed where Finn has now been forced to reveal the blue bleepy thing to Rose and Poe and all them, and they're like, dude, that's how the baddies have been finding us over and over again. You have to destroy that thing. Does Finn destroy it of his own will, or does someone do it for him? I just decided there is a correct answer.
I don't know the correct answer.
It is destroyed, not by Finn. Like, it's okay. not his call, but it's not quite clear whether or not he would have made the same call. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He hasn't changed quite yet. He's still a little selfish.
Right.
And the climax of the movie is, you know, Resistance gets away because everything worked out. Finn made the right call to save the Resistance rather than run off with his cutie samurai, space samurai girlfriend. And Rey, at the same time, has, like, overcome her own little darkness inside. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we've got, like, this message that it's not about not having darkness inside of you. It's about
overcoming
darkness.
Yes, this is so powerful. Okay. Up to the midpoint. Now we just should decide, what B-plot thing do we have going on? I do think instead of running away and being just out of reach for blah, 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 dog water plot points, I think instead it should be we're hiding. Like, we jump to a new system, and we hide somewhere in a new system, and then the First Order comes and they're like, shoo, it's only a matter of time till we find you. And I think Thrawn would be a really great bad guy as opposed to Donald Gleason.
What's his name? Snoke?
Snoke is the raisin.
Oh, right. Yeah. Whatever.
Image me.
Whatever that guy's name is.
And then there's Donald Gleason. Donald I'm just going to call him Donald Gleason.
We're just going to call him Donald Gleason. Bill Weasley. Great, great actor.
Yeah. I think Thrawn should be the sort of obstacle to Kylo. And Kylo should have a negative arc of not doing the, quote, greater good. And, you know, greater good for the bad side. So the greater bad, I guess.
Yeah.
He is, like, selfish and has this inkling, I need to go in guns blazing and do this thing. And Thrawn is like, no, you need to sacrifice your ego for the sake of the tactical victory. And so Thrawn should take a smaller force and flank, and that's the sort of thing that is sabotaged by our B-plot or C-plot. You know what I'm seeing? You know what I'm doing?
Yes, here? Actually, yeah.
But we can decide that in a bit.
Yeah.
A-plot, we are... First pinch point to the midpoint is Rey deciding she's going to go and find her friends, and then, like, the second she's about to try, cut to smash the blue bleepy thing.
Right. Smash the blue bleepy thing.
So this is solid.
I guess it's just kind of a question, like, does Rose or Poe smash the blue bleepy thing? Rose, obviously, is like, I don't know this chick. I'm gonna smash this thing so we don't all die. I think Poe, it kind of raises a question because Poe does know Rey, and Poe and Finn are friends.
Yeah.
And this is, I think that raises this question. But I do think that Poe has it in him to smash that thing and just be sorry about it but still do it because it's the right choice.
Yeah, you know what would be in line with the original Last Jedi's Poe, but and it's easy to say that this is clearly a better choice when you don't actually have to write the scenes and get feedback from producers and everything.
You don't have an actor say, I'm not doing this. This is dumb.
Yeah, I think because Poe's whole deal in The Last Jedi was he was like, I want to be a hero. And then they really tied it to a machismo thing rather than just like a vague ego. But what it could be is Poe is like, I'm going to do the right thing for the greater good, but not for the right reasons. So that way we have like a spectrum. Finn doing the wrong thing, Poe doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, and Rose being like, there is clearly a morally more right course of action here. Why are you two being babies about it? Mm-hmm. So Poe smashes it, but he's like, I'm a hero about it, you know?
Actually, I kind of like that. I'm a hero.
I'm a hero.
He's also got to be kind of like, I'm a hero.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Poe is all about, like, the gritty sacrifice.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't have to pay. Ooh. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Oh, that could be We could have pretty much the same thing. Poe is like, oh, it was a hard fought dreadnought victory or whatever. Same plot point. And the thing is, rather than him getting like benched, he gets like a stern talking to from Leia, and she's like, normally I would demote someone who did something like that, but like this crowd, like you have now become the face of the resistance. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
It's like, he's like, no, she just doesn't see. And then after he smashes the blue bleepy thing, that's him. He doesn't realize what he's actually sacrificing is like Finn's friendship, you know? So that's like the beginning of Poe's character arc of...
Right.
That's like the apex, rather, of his character arc.
And then...
he's like, oh, I gotta pay for it. Is this what I've been doing to people? This feels awful, kind of thing.
And then Laura Dern's character with the purple hair...
Is gone.
Fair enough. Okay, nothing actually against Laura Dern. I thought she did a pretty good job in this movie. She's a good actress. And fun fact, when she was making this movie, she couldn't stop saying pew pew while she was shooting her gun. And so they had to do several retakes.
It's totally commonplace to do that.
Yeah.
When you're just messing around, even in like rehearsals, people probably wouldn't blame you. So when it comes shooting time, like I can totally see everybody just sort of overlooking that and being wait a second.
It's like, this is why I gotta feel is that like if you make the worst Star Wars thing ever, it would be such a blast to be in still.
Oh, definitely. Oh my gosh.
Like we say a lot of stuff about, like, the Book of Boba Fett and the Mandalorian and the prequel, everything, all of it. If they called us to work on it in any capacity, we'd be there tomorrow for free.
Oh, definitely. Oh, that was very loud. Definitely. Oh my gosh, you know it.
Yeah. So, now, I feel like we have talked... I feel like we kind of have a better idea of what movie we would want to see here. Does Snoke, like, even appear in this movie? He can be a hologram again. I don't mind.
There might be something there with... this is definitely something that we should talk about before the break, but we are already kind of... reaching our limit. Well,
yeah, I'd say we also have two or three editing out a fair amount of this.
That's very true. I think there is something to be said about saving Snoke as the ultimate villain for the third movie.
Uh-huh.
Though that would be a very drastic change, and I don't want to spend too much time. So, how about Snoke? We start our sort of meanwhile back at the farm... plot line of the villain's point of views as it is from Thrawn's point of view. Thrawn is our new Domhnall Gleeson, pretty much.
All right.
And Thrawn is like, this is how things are. Everything's running very smooth. And then Kylo comes through and Snoke on a hologram is like, hey, by the way, we've been training for a while. He's going to now prove himself by taking out the resistance. And right. Thrawn tries to be like, I've got that on lock, but Kylo's like, don't worry about it, I got it.
You're literally just trying to add granola to soup.
Yeah, there you... Whoa. I don't want to say you blew my mind right there. But anyway, so... the midpoint there is... man... I want the A-plot heroes, the A and B-plot heroes to mix with the C-plot villains. And I'm now dubbing the villain plot the C-plot. I want the A and B-plot heroes to influence the C-plot villains' sort of, you know, actions. But, again, I don't want to get too dogged down in the details.
Okay. Hmm? Oh, my. Okay, so I feel like there is a good... idea here is that Thrawn keeps finding ways to tactfully brush Kylo aside.
Ooh.
And there's the blue bleepy thing on the ship, but Rey also has a blue bleepy thing, and Kylo has this force connection with her.
Oh.
So Kylo goes, alone and finds Luke and Rey on this planet, and that's our midpoint, and that is where we get this revelation that Luke rejected him.
That's pretty good.
And cast him aside because he couldn't overcome the darkness within himself.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. For Kylo to fight. There would have to be a fight there if that's what happens.
Yeah.
And a midpoint fight would be pretty cool between
them. Yeah. Like an actual fight. And like that was another problem that I had with this movie is that
Okay, what I was thinking was, instead of Kylo finding Luke and Rey, Kylo comes after them, finds Rey, takes the blue bleepy thing, and then he single-handedly blew Rey out of the water because, you know, she doesn't, air quotes, tapped into their power or whatever.
Yeah.
Logically, he would win that fight. He takes the blue bleepy thing.
Bet you wish your master was teaching you cool new stuff.
Huh? Exactly. And then Rey is like, that's mine. Here, come back and let's finish this. And he's like, you are not even an enemy to me. And he just leaves. And then Luke comes after Kylo has gone. And then he is like there for Rey to be like, here's what went down. Here's why. And then he sort of explains the plot. The plot reasons for his character placement right there.
Okay.
From the look on your face, I feel like I didn't convince you.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I just feel like there's more to that if that information comes from Kylo.
It's like he could explain during the fight.
What? Yeah, is that he can talk during the fight. Is it what that information comes from Kylo during that confrontation? It's like, do you know why you're so weak?
Boom.
It's because he can't teach you. He's too afraid of what you can really do.
Oh, yo, okay. If he does broach that, then we might retool that little plot point from you're nothing, not even an enemy to me, to come back in 10 years and join me, because, like, clear, you have the potential for crazy power. Yeah. It's just he won't bring it out.
Yeah, and I feel like there is this, like, Luke gets there and is too far away to do anything. And then he's like, hey, what's up? And then Kylo gives him the bird or whatever and flies away.
Yeah. Okay, I dig that. I really dig that.
Okay, and that's our midpoint.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a break just to take some deep breaths so we can stop, like, yawning and burping and whatever off camera, but we know everybody's name.
I need some water. I'm coughing like crazy.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. All right. We'll be right back.
Bye.
We'll be right back. I guess we're back. Because this is a much more laid back episode and there's usually a lot more structure, but it's all good. Yeah. The only thing we came up during the break was, like you said, a sort of throwback feel should be thrown in there somewhere. So we decided that Finn, Poe, Rose, the planet we end up going to, or the system we end up going to run away from the First Order is Tatooine. And the logic behind that was, oh, well, there's like a mine, some of the really cool sand, the weird colored sand that's really cool in the concept art that we definitely have, can be used to jam the comms so it'll take longer for them to find us.
Yeah.
And important bit we came up for Finn's character arc is that he's not quite in denial, but he wants to serve some kind of penance for the betraying everybody's trust for the blue bleepy thing and holding on to it so that Rey can find them. So he's volunteering for everything, and everything he's like trying really hard to,
he's bargaining.
Bargaining, that's it. Yes. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. And Chewbacca's there.
And Chewbacca is there more because Chewbacca's awesome.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. He's retired, so he doesn't have to make any character arcs or anything.
No.
He's in a great spot.
He is developed, man.
Yeah. He's good.
Chewbacca is perfect.
He really is.
We don't want Chewbacca to change.
Facts. So midpoint, where were we with everybody?
Rey and Kylo have had their confrontation. Rey goes into the pit and, like, finds her capacity for darkness.
Right. Hang on. Adjusting microphone. Rey went into the pit, came back out, confronted Kylo. Huh?
No. Confronted Kylo first. Like, that's kind of the whole point.
Huh?
Wasn't that kind of the whole point?
She fought Kylo before the pit? So she, like, left and went back to Luke planet?
No, on that planet, like, Kylo comes and takes the blue bleepy thing. Oh. They fight.
Oh, okay. I had assumed that, and like, we were still... And
then she goes into the pit.
Yeah, I had assumed we kept the,
And then Luke takes her, and it's like, only what you take with you is in there. It's like, only what you take with you. What? I'm sorry, people usually ask if there's anything in there, and then you get to... Never mind. Only what you take with you.
All right. That does introduce a little bit of a plot hole, though, of how does she look for her friends? Because...
That's the great thing about these movies, the Force. I had a vision in the pit.
Yeah, okay.
Pit vision.
Oh, wait, yeah, it's just the same as Empire and that episode of Avatar The Last Airbender. She's like, oh, I know where my friends are, and I'm going to choose to find them.
Yeah.
And let my feelings influence my judgment or whatever.
Yeah.
So
does the First Order find... Are they the B-plot characters on Tatooine? You know, Tatooining?
I'm sorry. No, all I can think is Tatooine-y.
Tatooiners.
Tatooine-y.
It is kind of spelled in a way that you might think it's pronounced Tatooine-y.
Tatooine. Okay.
You've got to Tatooine ourselves off this joke.
This does introduce potential for another Kylo Thrawn dispute of who should be at fault. Should it be Kylo tries to act on his own again? And yeah, okay, this introduces some pretty cool potential for a negative character arc for Kylo.
Okay.
Where he makes the mistake of, I'm going to act on my own impulses, I have the blue bleepy thing, I'm going to go after it myself, thinking that he is going to zero in on the resistance and maybe confront his mom. Yeah. Because he'll think that Leia must still be alive since the blue bleepy thing, and then he'll sort of deduce, oh, Leia's still alive. I have to, since I hesitated earlier and some random ass First Order trooper blasted my mom and then she did the Superman out of the sky. This is my second chance to not hesitate and kill my mom like I killed my dad. Oedipus for the win. But like...
The double Oedipus.
Yeah.
Ew. I don't...
Never mind.
Let's gloss right over that. Okay.
He's basically seeing it as, oh, I'm... Rather than proving myself to Snoke, to the First Order, I'm going to prove me to my... I'm going to prove myself to me by killing my mama. So I'm going in... Because my mom is definitely the only person who could feasibly have the blue bleepy thing on her. And then he sort of is like, we're going to Tatooine. No, he goes to Tatooine. And then, whoosh, like, comes out of light speed. And then he's picked up on the scanners. But he's in the wrong spot. He's in the system. But he's closer to Finn, Poe, and Rose. Than, like, the whole fleet or whatever. And they pick him up on the instruments, and they're like, he's here! Oh my gosh! And he's like, you know, just sort of around Tatooine rather than on the... He's on the wrong side of the planet, or whatever. The point is,
right.
He gives away the tactical surprise opportunity.
Right. And then Thrawn is like, you fool! I am Admiral Thrawn.
Exactly. So he follows up, but the thing is, they get away. They smash the blue bleepy thing, they get away... to the ship. The ship jumps into light speed one more time, and Thrawn is like, we have to start all over. Or wait, no, the blue bleepy thing should be destroyed after.
Right, yeah. Because, well, I mean, we kind of shifted the midpoint to being that character-driven a different character-driven confrontation.
Yes.
Between Kylo and Rey.
Yeah.
On wherever.
Okay, so where we are now is and that needs to be like their last jump to light speed to get away. Like they're out of fuel after right. that one.
And then they land on that mining planet because that was kind of a cool planet. I like that planet.
Carbonth or whatever.
We don't remember. The one with those like icy foxes and the red dirt under the gray dirt.
It was called like Crate.
That's a dumb name. We're changing that name. We could.
I like Carbonth.
Carbonth
just sort of rolls off the tongue.
We'll get that. When they let us remake this movie, I guess we'll do that.
You know the Carbonth is a real place, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that was... Oh, Carbonth is a place in fucking Way of Kings. My bad.
Oh.
It sounds so real, though.
Dead.
Carbonth. Sounds... Okay, yeah, this is... Right. I'm sorry, this is a Cosmere thing. So we go to Crate. We're on Crate. The blue bleepy thing is destroyed. And then everybody is like, do you think we destroyed it in time? It doesn't really matter. Like, they have to sit there and wonder. Okay, this is the last stand. We are calling all of our allies like we did in the original Last Jedi.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, we're kind of stranded here and they're coming.
They're coming.
So to pad for that, the second half, it's going to be a lot of Rey and Luke. And that can be Luke sort of giving his take on everything. It could be Luke. Got it. Cracked it. Code. Cracked.
Cracked.
I am shaken to my core that Carbonth is not a real place.
Everything you know is a lie. Those summer holidays in Carbonth. All actors, all sound stages.
Second half, Rey and Luke shooting the breeze, just kicking it, talking philosophizing. And Luke is like, this is why I am so, you know, aloof. What does aloof mean? I've used that word wrong so many times in my life.
That's like arrogant.
Aloof. Yeah, okay. All right, so this is why I've been so aloof about training, is because I don't want to do the whole coin flip dice roll, giving people power and just seeing if they're good or not. Like, you are a perfect example of that. And then she hits him with the Parthenax. Is it better to be born good or to overcome the evil within oneself? You know?
What was that word?
Parthenax is a character from Skyrim. He was a dragon.
Got it.
He was spitting straight philosophy bars, that dude.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, but that would have to be either multiple scenes or one really long scene of them arguing just to get to that, you know, philosophical statement, you know, like Luke is like, no, we should just work on putting as much good into the universe. Bad people with darkness are not worth the investment. And Rey should come from more of a standpoint of, no, we should be giving everyone the opportunity to find what's in them and then help them through any darkness.
All right.
Oh, okay. Damn. Yo. And I was going to say the climax for Luke's character arc can be like he still dies.
Yeah.
And that's sort of him acknowledging, like, I have to pay for, you know, having failed all of the Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren, like just abandoning them when they needed like a daddy figure. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so sorry. When they needed a father figure.
Which is what we should call dad bods.
Oh.
Go to bed, Eric.
No, I'm dead. You killed me with
that.
Yeah,
good.
That killed me. Gosh. Oh. I need a toothbrush for my brain after that. So Luke, does the same thing, but instead of being a force ghost for no reason at all, he actually shows up to Crate and buys everybody time. And that's the opportunity. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to I'm going to have to make sure I get this right with explanation because it's perfect in my mind, but there is a sever between my brain and my mouth sometimes. So, Rey and Luke have that sort of argument, and then they go to Crait, and then Luke talks to Leia, and he says, like, you, Rey, and everybody can have this sort of final stand, but the only way out of here is if Rey taps into her power. Ooh. And then Rey's a little worried because she had that vision. She's bad, but and then Luke is like, don't worry. I believe in you. And then he goes off to buy everybody time. He goes off, faces off with Kylo to buy everybody time. And then we have that Hank Hill moment of, what are you doing here? You're going to try and persuade me back to the... No, I'm here to kick your ass. And he does whoop his ass. And we get the night. Maybe we get a little Knights of Ren action. That could be something. Okay. But the point is, before we commit to a very climactic, dramatic moment there, I think there should be something. There should be, before that scene, there should be a scene between Kylo and Thrawn of Kylo saying, we're doing this. I'm pulling rank. I'm in charge. We're attacking them head on. And Thrawn is like, no, there's another route out of there. There is like a rear exit that we should cover. We should just send like one or two guys there to cover our bases. And Kylo is like, no reason to do that. And he's saying it's the tactically right thing to do. But really, he's just letting his ego take over. And he's like, I want to do this. And I want the credit for having destroyed the entire resistance. Thrawn sends a small force out back. And that's what, like, gets a good punch or two in. Damn, I was going to say, oh no. I think Finn dies. I think, because logically what I'm getting at is Thrawn wounds the resistance in a way where, like, they lose something they can't get back. And, oh no, Poe dies! Oh, poor Poe.
Poor Poe.
He's like, now I understand what, like, the tactical sacrifice is really about, you know?
I don't know. Can't we hack his arm off? I feel like we hack a lot of people's arms off.
That is much better.
Yeah.
That is much better for Star Wars. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for stopping me. Yeah. Finn...
Plus, you get to continue developing a character after they lose their arm. It's like, now I understand what sacrifice means. And in the next movie, it's like, I don't have an... I have a robot arm now, and that is jarring.
It could be a robot arm, and that would be very Star Wars, but, could it be an eye instead?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Poe with an eye patch. Eye poach. Sorry. That would be really cool, because that would be perfect to, sort of exemplify that Poe understands sacrifice, but also, it's Star Wars, robotic limbs and extremities are friggin' awesome, so... Good spot there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So maybe it's Thrawn himself. Maybe it's some other people. What would be really cool is if they capture Thrawn, because I don't want to kill Thrawn because he's like such an awesome character and there's so much room to use him for other stuff.
Yeah. Thrawn does not strike me as a hands-on kind of guy, but he's like, I'm just going to go down and do this for no reason.
You're totally right. Unless we establish in the first half and before this that he has some sort of small cadre of people who are like ride or die for him, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty baller.
Yeah,
but that wouldn't make too much sense. Thrawn would just send that cadre off.
Yeah.
Thrawn sends the cadre off to just in case.
No.
Kylo sees that as a betrayal, but who cares?
Well, Kylo and the gang are fighting Luke, and Luke is he's just doing it. He's doing a great job.
Sorry. Thrawn needs more than just, like, an arm. He's like, I was right. There's his arm. Like, Thrawn, as a character, would need more to, like, feel like he was right. After that, the books. Those Jedi Force tomes, remember?
Uh-huh.
I think the cadre should like should either recover the books or, you know, kill a few resistance people on the way out, and one just happened to like be holding the books or whatever. The point is that that's like the token that keeps Snoke from just being like, Thrawn, you're a punk. I'm with Kylo on this one. He sees the books even, and he's like, Kylo, you made the wrong call. You shuck. And Kylo has a temper tantrum.
Like, no, I have parent issues.
Yeah. Okay, this is really solid. Yeah. I'm digging this.
And then, you know, Luke says, if you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you can imagine, because it annoys me that he didn't say that.
Oh, like, why didn't he say that? That's so good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, and that's then, you know, so like, good. Luke can... Oh, that last moment of Luke, like, chilling there. And the Knights of Ren, like, that cannot just be Luke versus Kylo. Maybe it is at the start of it, but, like, the Knights come and help Kylo out. Like, Kylo is losing, and Luke could win that fight. But, like, he's Ben Kenobi. He's letting everybody else get away, and he's like, if you strike me down now, that will be all the evidence that I failed you. And, like, he's not saying, like, do it, punk, I dare you. He's, like, apologizing. He feels terrible. But he's like, you're not past all hope, but you are past all mine. You know, you're past me completely. Strike me down now, and I'll become more powerful than you can ever imagine. And then Kylo, and then he becomes a ghost.
Yes.
And then he kicks it with Leia
for Space ghost, coast to coast.
I just added that to my HBO Max list.
Oh, I do gotta watch that.
I want to watch a little Space Ghost first.
You should watch C-Lab. C-Lab's great.
I need to watch all of that.
Yeah, it's all great. It's just done by some really funny people who had no money for animation in like 2000.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
This is in a really great spot. Oh no, Rose.
Oh no, we did the same thing Ryan did.
Well, we did.
Okay, you know what? It's not perfect.
Hello, we got some time. I mean,
she is best friends with Chewbacca, and they just know. Okay.
I mean, Rose has no flaws. The thing is, in the original Last Jedi, she had a major flaw of bad writing. Her character just not making any sense. Besides, like, oh, I want to do the right thing, and also you shouldn't be filled with hate when you fight bad guys. And I was like, excellent philosophy, horribly executed. You just, like, if Finn had been written a little differently, Rose would have been perfect for that movie.
Yeah, but Finn wasn't really full of hate.
Exactly. If Finn was a pretty chill dude,
Finn's entire life was stolen from him, and he was just kind of like, I like this now.
Yeah, if Phasma had been more a part of that movie, then, and Phasma, like, opening up the wall or whatever, you know, the wall, the crate, hole in the wall, if she had played more of a role in that, and if Finn's sacrifice setup had not been, I'm going to save the day, and instead been like, I'm going to kill that punk I don't like, then Rose stopping him would have made so much more sense. But instead, it was literally like, no, don't sacrifice yourself for the greater good. Why not? Because you're filled with hate. Except he's not. He was doing the right thing for a noble reason. But... again, splitting hairs a little bit. What should Rose be instead? Because there are a lot of gaps. Like I said, it's really easy to say what you could have, should have, would have done when you're just two dudes in a room and you have no sorts of deadlines.
I don't know.
But
dispassionately following the mission of the rebellion, just like with no real regard for without enough regard for people as individuals. I don't know. That just feels like a nice philosophical opposition to to where Finn is at, trying to compensate. And I feel like that also kind of fills the, which kind of also fills out this, three-pronged thing with Poe, who is just like, I want to be the hero. I want to do the heroic thing. So it's like, I'll listen to whichever one of you is seeming heroic at the time. Where she's just like, yeah, sacrifice all day, every day. It's whatever. You gotta.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's the only admirable thing to do. Well, my sister blew up.
Was she like an engineer?
I think so. Okay, her sister blew up.
She can be like the external sort of driving force for the first two-thirds, where she's basically like the source of information, the source of sort of esoteric information of that Finn and Poe are kind of taking advantage of. Finn for the blue bleepy thing, and Poe for the the signal communicating sand. Those two guys, they're like, Poe is like, look what I figured out, everyone, and when actually Rose did it, but she's like all for the greater good, so she doesn't mind very much at all. But for that last third, okay, yeah, it would be a little cheesy, it would be a little campy, but I think it would be pretty cool.
I think you overuse the word campy, but we'll talk about that later. I think you say camp when you mean kind of bad.
Well, no, when I say camp, I usually mean cheesy, but reveling in it a little bit. You know?
Okay, yeah. No, that kind of, that does.
Like,
that sounds about right.
The end of Rocky is not campy, but it's as cheesy as you can get without being campy.
Okay.
Because it's, okay, here, I'm, yeah. Big tangent right here.
Fair enough.
The end of Rocky is, as you know, spoiler alert, by the way, he doesn't get knocked out, but he goes the distance. It's a tie, I believe, so... Apollo won split decision, but the point is Rocky didn't win. The thing is, he got what he wanted. He went the distance with the world champion, and so the movie ends with the two main characters just yelling I love you at each other, and that's so cheesy, but it's not campy because it's earned, you know.
Yeah. Batman and Robin, the original Batman and Robin TV show, was held up as the height of pop culture camp.
Oh yeah, which is like, this is kind of, and I'm going to use the word cheesy again. I'm not sure what else to use. It's kind of cheesy, but it's delivered in just the right way that they acknowledge, hey, this is cheesy and not earned. But like, you like it, don't you? And you're like, yeah, I do. And that's what camp means to me.
Okay, yeah.
So
every time Eric said cheesy, take one of those hits off of the spray can cheese, like that guy in a goofy movie.
The town of cheese. The end of our movie, The Very Last Jedi, is a bit cheesy, a bit campy, in that Rose, like, figures out how to get out, and then she, like, tosses it to the fellas. She's like, hey, Poe, Finn, this is how we can get out. I, like, did a 3D... mapping of the entire facility, and there's this spot, but we'll need and we don't know it's blocked because we don't know that we need Rey to get us out of here at this point. But Poe is like, that's wonderful news, tell him. And then Rose is like, what? He's like, tell him. She's like, don't you want to be like the hero or whatever? And he's like, no, overcome your like fear of public speaking, like, do it. And he's like, tell him, Rose. Like, that's what makes it a bit campy, is it's that's not very much campy. Earned. But it is, but it's wholesome enough that you're like, tell him, Rose. Oh, come on.
Yeah, tell him, Rose. Okay, yeah. So, like, I thought you were going to give, it's a campy ending to a character arc.
Yeah.
It's not a campy ending to this movie. Character who's been part of people's lives for, like, 50 years still gets it. And Poe loses an eye or an arm.
Yeah. I really love that. Yeah. I did not consider Poe losing an arm at all. I was like, someone's gotta die because
someone's gotta die, and I've rolled this dice and it's
This is a really great spot.
Yeah.
Because we're not happy with it, but we are satisfied with who got away. And Luke's, like, character arc ends in a pretty satisfying way.
Mm, yeah.
And things end in pretty much the same spot as they did in before, besides the books. But the books, you know, the Jedi tomes that Luke had, yep. Those cannot logically be in possession of Rey and everybody. Because,
yeah,
like, even in the original Last Jedi, the whole bit was that Yoda's ghost rolled up and he was like, the sacred texts, like, yeah. All right, how much time have we got? We got another, like, 5 minutes or so. I'm just gonna rag on The Last Jedi.
Okay, hey, okay. But yeah, Yoda being like, they're not important, but we've got them anyway. And then that newsy orphan moves the room.
I hate this movie so much.
I would like to give some background. If you are familiar with the concept of newsies in the musical Newsies, Newsies are Eric's least favorite thing in the world. Scrappy orphans.
Hang on. Whoa. Okay. See, they're Eric's least favorite things in the world. Scrappy.
Orphans. Yeah, least favorite thing in the world. A newsies is a specific thing. You know it when you see it. They show up. Gosh. They're weirdly acrobatic. They emerge from the darkness like nothing, and they wear that dumb hat.
You know, I like. It's not that I love, but
I saw one once.
What?
Oh, I saw a newsie once.
You saw a newsie in the wild. Okay. It's not. We're pretty much done talking about the plot points, whatever. We'll this was a laid back
episode. We'll say the like end said. Later.
Yeah. It's not that I have complete apathy for or love or hate an underdog story. I think it has a lot of potential. So I have potential to hate or love an underdog story. What I do not like is people mistaking the whole underdog coming out on top and winning as a lack of drawing on your lack of power for power.
Okay, yeah.
And that's exactly what Newsies is. It's like, we have Jack. We have nothing. That's what makes us strong? Not just that. Our aesthetic? Because we're obnoxious and we don't give up and we spit in your face? That's what makes us the heroes, and we're, like, unstoppable as a result? Yeah. Let's flip the bird to Bezos up there. Oh, look at that. Now I'm 10 feet tall. Like, that is so dumb to me. That's why I hate, not punk. I do kind of hate punk rock, though. I don't know exactly what I'm saying right now. Because I love some punk rock. But what I hate is people mistaking, like, non-conformity for anti-conformity, you know? Like, that's just another type of conformity, kid. Whatever the masses is doing, I'm doing the opposite. It's like, okay, what if the masses changes? Oh, then I must change.
Yeah.
Loser. Yeah.
It just goes to show you, as has been written, everything resists. Exists in relation to the dominant ideology in some capacity.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, there's plenty more to say about The Last Jedi. Like I said, it's bad. The end.
The end. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, let us know by leaving a review on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's a lot like what we do, just more professional. Thanks again.